Department of Technical Education at ESA. I'm at Black Hat, which is a kind of hackers conference. It's 10 years of thinking like a hacker to build better digital defenses. It's called Black Hat because in the Western movies, the bad guys always wore black hats. And you could tell they were the bad guys because they had a black hat. Unfortunately, the Internet's kind of like the Wild West today with bad guys all over, but you can't tell the bad guys like you can in the movies. Mike Morgenstern is with us from avtest.org. Mike presented at the Black Hat Conference a presentation on runtime packers. So I congratulate Mike on having been able to speak at the conference. It's a very prestigious conference for a speaker to be invited to speak at. So Mike, can you tell us, what are runtime packers and why should people care about them?
Good morning, sure. Well, runtime packers are around since the late 80s, and at first they have been used like the packers, you know, which are zip or RAR, to compress files with the advantage they unpack transparently during execution. A side effect, however, is since the file is packed or encrypted, the code included changes. And this has then been used by malware writers to avoid signature-based detection. For example, say one malware gets into the wild and the AV companies come up with a signature to detect the file. The virus writer would then just apply a runtime packer onto its malware, therefore changing the code and making the signature kind of useless because it can't be matched to the code anymore. And in the end, the malware remains undetected.
So the packers started out as good things so that people could save space and share files more quickly and easily, but because they changed the files, that defeats signature-based detection, correct?
Right. This is the main point about runtime packers.
Okay, and because we're seeing bad guys using it to hide their bad code from the antivirus scanners, then each time they change it, if the antivirus product can't handle the packing program, then they have to release a new signature.
Exactly. This is the problem over here, and that's why it's so important to be able to support the unpacking of all these different runtime packers which are out there.
If there were only a couple bad files out there that were packed, then it wouldn't seem like much of a problem, but how big of a problem is it?
Well, when you take a look at a wild list, which is a list which lists all the widespread viruses and worms which are out there in reality, in real life, you can see that over 90% of all the widespread malware is actually runtime compressed. And over that, about 30 different runtime packers in many, many different versions are used, and all these runtime packers have to be supported by the antivirus programs.
So would a user know when they got a file that was runtime packed?
No, you can't see that in any way. It's absolutely transparently. You run the program, you run the file, and you won't recognize it.
Okay, so they really need their antivirus product to do the job there for them, don't they?
Exactly. The antivirus program is absolutely in charge here.
So you tested a lot of different products, I think over 30 products, and you presented your findings at the Black Hat conference here. Can you tell us about it and how the various products did?
Yeah, sure. We've been testing over 30 products, and the findings were quite amazing. The detection rates vary a lot. They go from below 10% to over 80%, and only 7 scanners out of the over 30 that have been tested had detection rates of over 80%, and average detection rate is only about 50%. Another interesting finding was, when it comes to packers found in the wild list, most of the products performed pretty good on them. But when it comes to packers which aren't commonly used in the wild list malware, they posed a lot of problems and the detection rates got really low. We can look at Semantic, for example, which had an average detection rate of only 60%, while having pretty good detection rates on whitelist packers, for example, UPX with 100% and two other ones with near 100%, while they had pretty much problems on packers which aren't widely used in the whitelist, for example, AZ Protect or Neolite, where the detection rates go down to 33% or 22%. And the same thing is true for most of the other products in our test.
So you said that there were only 7 products that posted scores of over 80% detection. How did ESET's NOD32 anti-threat system do?
Yeah, ESET NOD32 was ranking on place 5 in detection rates, but with the advantage, out of the 7 products that had a detection rate of over 80%, NOD had by far the lowest number of false positives, which is an important thing to note, I guess.
So that means that when you test against good files that are clean that customers might want, we did a better job of leaving those files alone instead of deleting the files, right?
Exactly. When you look at the numbers, NOD32 only had 23 false positives, and the other products which had good detection rates go up to 91 false positives, even several hundred, and some go up to even 2,000 false positives, so that's quite a difference.
Well, it's really easy to detect all of the viruses. You just call all products, all code infected, but that's a bunch of false positives, and so what you're saying is that with NOD at 23 false positives, every other product that got above 80% had about 4 times worse problem with false positives?
Right, at least 4 times and even 10 times as much, and one product even 100 times as much false positives compared to NOD 32.
That can be a big problem. We just saw an article where the Church of England has a program that they use to help write their sermons, and a major antivirus product had a false positive and was deleting their program.
Yeah, right, and this is true for many other programs. When you look at a software which is found on your computer, you will certainly find a one or another file which is one-time compressed. For example, the Adobe Reader has a file which is compressed with PE Compact, which has been also used in our test set. Another software to mention is Google Desktop, which again has 2 files which are packed with PE Compact, and the same is true for many, many other software, many other files. And if an antivirus program goes the way to just flag every one-time compressed file as suspicious or malicious, you can run into real problems here.
Yeah, a user wouldn't be too happy if they couldn't use their Acrobat Reader or their Google Desktop because their antivirus product deleted it for them.
Exactly.
So you also talked about problems with products crashing too, right?
Yeah, right. This was another important thing we came across. We had mainly 2 issues which we presented. First one was with software from Panda. Oh yeah, this software just stopped scanning when scanning over certain packed files packed with a certain packer. In this case, it was DXer. Yeah, and the scan would just stop, and you wouldn't see there was an error. It presents the final screen. It says the scan is finished, everything's okay, and this can be a real problem when these packed files are just placed ahead of your malicious files. So Panda will scan this DXer packed file, stop here, and don't scan all the other malicious files which would come later. Another problem was with the software of Trend Micro. Here the command line scanner which we tested had problems scanning files packed with Petite, which is another runtime packer, and the scan would just stall and product wouldn't really react anymore. And we've seen some similar problems in some other software as well.
So how did NOD32 do in terms of problems with crashes or hangs?
Yeah, we didn't see any problems with NOD32 in that respect.
So how is it that some products are able to do so much better on these different packers than others are?
Yeah, I guess you have to look at it. 2 approaches that are mainly used. First, you could use dedicated unpacking engines for every different runtime packer and every different version which is out there, and you can already see the problem. The problem is when you want to support all runtime packers, you have to maybe write about 100 unpacking engines, and new packers are coming out daily, so that's not really an option. What other products are doing is using smart heuristics or emulation, and by that you can just simulate the process of unpacking until you can apply your known signatures to match on the now unpacked program files, and therefore make detection a bit easier without the need of many, many different unpacking engines.
NOD32 uses emulation and a variety of other heuristics, so do you think that's why we were able to perform so well on your test?
Yeah, absolutely. I guess this is the case. And I think you can also see a hint when you look at the results of our time testings. The products that use dedicated unpacking engines are slightly faster over here, but sometimes show worse detection rates, while the products with emulation or heuristic approaches might be a bit slower over there, which NOD32 is a bit, but therefore having much better detection rates and very low false positives.
So you're saying it can be really, really fast and miss a lot of stuff, or you can be just a little bit slower and provide the users with the protection that was the whole purpose of getting the product, right?
That's what you could say, depending on our testing results,
So compared to the other top seven, to the other products that had better than 80% detection, how did NOD compare in terms of speed?
Well, the fastest products were needed about 2 minutes, and the slowest products that had over 80% detection rate needed about 60 minutes, and NOD is right in the middle with about 80 minutes. So they're doing pretty well over there again, actually.
Were there any other results that you found surprising or important for people to know?
Well, there was a certain problem we had with suspicious detection of files as suspicious. For example, Panda software again showed pretty good detection rates of about 86% on our malware test set, while they rated over 1,000 files only as suspicious. And in turn, this led to many, many false positives, since again, they flagged many files as suspicious in our false positive test set, and this is because of probably not too smart heuristics, since every packed file is just flagged as suspicious, and this is a pretty important thing to note, actually, because this creates very easy false positives on the problems we've talked about before.
A lot of Microsoft's operating system files are runtime packed, aren't they?
I'm actually not sure about that, but when they are, this could be a real problem as well, yeah.
Yeah, so a product like that's having an extremely high false positive rate can do serious damage to the user system, can't it?
Yeah, of course. The antivirus software will, depending on the configuration, just delete a file or put it in quarantine when you are lucky, so the programs might not work anymore after you've scanned your system, and this is not really what you want.
So that can not only impact productivity, but in some cases people might end up rebuilding their systems from scratch, right?
But it can just damage the system, and you lose many hours rebuilding the system, and while antivirus software should protect you, it can go all the way wrong.
So for the seven products that got over 80% detection are the really important ones for people to focus on, because those are the ones that are actually providing some protection for the consumer. But when you narrow it down to, okay, you got good detection, but are you deleting good files too, did anyone else come close to the over 80% detection with just 23 false positives?
No, not at all. Not 32, as we said, had over 80% detection rate and only 23 false positives. And the next one, with about the same detection rate, already had 5 times the number of false positives. So no other program is comparable in this range.
Now, that's some really interesting results.
Yeah, we were actually pretty surprised by that. We didn't expect so less good detection rates and so many false positives on the other hand. Yeah, and not 32 really surprised us over there.
So would you say that if a user's really concerned about getting high-quality detection with a very low false positive rate, that they ought to at least take a look at NOD32?
NOD32, of course, should be an option here, yeah.
So the ability to scan accurately and detect the threats without throwing up a bunch of false positives and without crashing or hanging on files is really important for users today that want to keep their systems protected.
Right, and this is what we put our main focus on. It's not only detection rates, it's not only false positives, it's not only crashes, but it's, the three things all together. And with that, NOD32 certainly was one of the products that performed far by best.
Well, I thank you very much for your time, and congratulations on getting accepted to speak at Black Hat. That's not an easy thing to do. They're pretty picky.
Yeah, thank you. I was pretty happy they accepted us, and it was great fun to talk over there. And, thanks for your time as well right now.
Well, I look forward to seeing a lot more of the great testing that you guys at abtest.org perform. It's very valuable to users, to corporate administrators, to anyone that wants to make an intelligent decision about their anti-malware protection, because you guys do really high-quality testing and test what matters.
Yeah, thank you. We are really happy to hear that, and we are going on with the work and hope it still will be appreciated in the future.